One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
As a child, I remember growing up and thinking, why did Christians, and even though I grew up in the church, why did Christians give so much attention to the resurrection? Was it really something that I needed to understand? I believe that Jesus died and rose again, but why? Why did he do that, and how did it benefit me as a Christian? That I needed to understand. And today we're going to tackle that on Abounding Grace Radio. We've just celebrated the birth of Christ, but what does the birth of Christ even mean apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's the important subject we're taking up today on Abounding Grace Radio. Dear listener, a very important subject for you to understand the person and the saving work of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we do invite you to our website at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. Download the podcast. There's a way there to support us and write to us if you wish. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. We would love to hear from you. Well, today on Abounding Grace, as I said, we're taking up the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have Pastor Mike Brown with us of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And Mike, this is, as I said at the beginning, I didn't always appreciate this doctrine, but what a wonderful doctrine. When we understand what is being said, what is being revealed to us, what's being communicated, that Jesus rose from the dead. I think it's important today that Christians have a fresh understanding of this. Don't you? I mean, did you have that same struggle as a young person of why the resurrection?
I did. I'll be honest. I didn't understand the significance of the resurrection. It was, okay, Jesus went to the cross to die for my sins, which that honestly was a little foggy in my mind, what that precisely meant. And then, okay, he appears again 3 days later, and he's walking around with his disciples, teaching them some things, and then he flew away. I hate to admit it, but that was sort of my understanding as a child growing up. It wasn't until much later that I saw that the resurrection is really Scripture's centerpiece for everything that Jesus accomplishes. Without the resurrection, his cross is meaningless. Without the resurrection, there is no atonement. There is no active obedience of Jesus Christ for us. There is no benefit for us of anything that Jesus Christ did in his person and work if he wasn't raised from the dead and made glorified.
Right. And, you know, it just goes to show you, as pastors, we have to be so plain about what the gospel is. I think we make so many assumptions that people understand these basic gospel truths. And the reality is, I can say even as a pastor, as I was going into seminary, we studied together in seminary, we studied to become pastors. These things weren't clear for me even then. It took me a long time to work through and understand why these things were so important to confess, and why I had to believe them, and what the benefit was in understanding these things. And that's why we're doing this on Abounding Grace. That's why we're going through the Heidelberg Catechism, because the Heidelberg helps us to go through the basics of the Christian faith, understanding the whole picture of salvation, looking carefully at what it means that Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus went into the grave, that he rose again, was seated on the throne, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And particularly today, we are looking at what it means that he rose again from the dead. Well, that's Lord's Day 17 in our continued study of the Heidelberg Catechism. And what I love about this, Mike, is that there are three benefits, three blessings that this question and answer outlines for us to help us understand the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the question is really plain. What does the resurrection of Christ profit us? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? I mean, there's something very meaningful, and there are great benefits that flow from understanding this, from what Jesus did for us. First, let's just start with the first one here. By his resurrection, he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of the righteousness which he has won or obtained for us by his death. What a great statement, isn't it?
That's right. And again, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, then his death on the cross was just another death of many crucifixions that were done by Rome during that time. I mean, many people were crucified. That was a common method of execution by the Roman Empire. And if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, not resuscitated, but glorified with a transformed, glorified physical body 3 days later, if that did not happen, then anything that he did on the cross or in his life for our salvation is rendered meaningless. And this is what the scriptures teach us. I mean, the Heidelberg Catechism really gets it right by highlighting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he does cause us to share in the righteousness that he earned for us in his life and death. So isn't that what Romans 4 teaches? At the end of Romans 4, Paul is talking about how faith, our faith receives the righteousness of Christ. It's imputed to us by faith. And he goes on to say that Christ was raised from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses, verse 25, and raised for our justification. So that great doctrine of justification, of God announcing us, proclaiming us as righteous in his sight by virtue of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which comes to us extra nos, outside of ourselves, that only can happen because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how vital this doctrine is.
Right. And, you know, because of the fall, because of the curse, all of us have to die. And it's a terrible thing. I mean, all of us are going. I mean, you say this, it sounds so radical today because we live in denial of it. We live in a denial of this in society. All of you listening are going into a box 6 feet under. All of us have that to be anticipated. And you don't know when. I mean, this could happen tonight. And think of the beauty of this. If the Lord had left us to that, well, we would have all suffered not only physical death, but eternal death. In other words, eternal torments of hellfire. But here, what we're confessing, what we understand is because Jesus died and he rose again, he triumphed over that death. So that's why the question comes out, oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? The victory comes through him who conquered it, who rose victorious over it. And I love what you quoted there from Romans 4, because Paul is really highlighting what Abraham believed, what Abraham received, which was the righteousness that comes by faith. And Paul says there in Romans 4, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. In other words, this was not just for Abraham. This is for you, for us who believe. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That is such an important statement. In other words, because he died, because he rose, he has earned something for us. And being joined to him, being united to him, we have something reckoned to us. It's his righteousness. And therefore, because we have his life, his righteousness imputed to our accounts by faith, that means that whatever happened to him is what belongs to us. Since he died, we died. Now we will be raised because of his glorious resurrection. But he's earned for us everything we need.
Right. And that's the first great benefit that the Heidelberg Catechism points out, is that justification and our sharing in Christ's righteousness would be impossible apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter touches on something similar in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. There is no living hope. And then he goes on to say in the next verse, our hope is to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so Christ's resurrection is what seals all of that for us. His resurrection was not only his vindication, showing that God had vindicated this man who died on the cross, who is actually our Savior, was a righteous man, had never sinned once, but it is also the assurance and the security that we have that Christ's righteousness has been given to us, and we now have a living hope.
Right. And I love, you know, what Paul emphasizes. It, you know, the Corinthians struggled with this issue of the resurrection. There were many denials. The Sadducees denied it. There were many denials of the resurrection that went on. You know, and Paul says, listen, if this hasn't happened, you're still in your sins. And that really has to be felt. That really has to be understood. That if there had been no victor for us, if there had been no one who had stepped in our place and conquered this, we're still in them. The resurrection announces, I like to think of it also like a receipt, you know. It's a declaration that it was finished. It's a declaration that it really occurred. It's like handing somebody a receipt of the transaction, saying this is proof that it really happened. The resurrection is proof that he really died and rose victorious, conquering sin and death for us.
That's right. There is no hope apart from the resurrection of Christ. There's no Christianity apart from the resurrection of Christ. And we have good reasons to believe that that resurrection happened. The eyewitnesses, the 11 apostles, the 500 who saw him that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. You have the hostile witnesses, the Romans and the Jews who did not contest the fact that the tomb was in fact empty. And then you have these eyewitnesses that went out and had a transformation going from fearful men hiding from the Romans and the Jews to now openly proclaiming Jesus of Nazareth as being raised from the dead. And they have this enduring transformation that took them all the way to their death, to the end. None of them denied it. So there are good reasons for believing this. And apart from that, there is no hope. And so not only do we find that that we get the benefit of being justified and being saved from the wrath of God, but then there is also this benefit of sanctification, right, Chris? That's what the next thing that it goes into.
Right, I love that because it's not just something that happens in principle. It is something that happens in principle. It is something that is imputed to us and reckoned to us. It is the righteousness of Jesus. But now there's something that actually happens because of it, of a transformation. That's what we call sanctification. And you'll notice here that in the Heidelberg, it talks just about that. It says, second, we also are raised up by his power to a new life. And I think that's so important for us to emphasize as Christians, the importance of what Christ's resurrection brings in terms, like you said, Mike, of our sanctification, of our process of being more conformed to his image, of being more made more holy. And the New Testament roots our sanctification in this truth. I can't emphasize that enough. I'm going to read Colossians and you can interact with this, Mike, but look how it treats the Christian now. The scriptures treat the Christian because Jesus is raised. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then it goes on to talk about. So here's what that new life looks like. Because you're raised up, because you have been given a new birth, as you mentioned, you've been born again by his Spirit, because Jesus is raised, so here's what you should do. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is the new life you have received because of Christ's resurrection.
That's right, and the power of Christ's resurrection is what supplies us with the power to do these things. It's not only that we should do them, but that we are given the ability to begin doing these things. I mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only provides us with the benefit of justification because Christ's righteousness is now imputed to us as a result, but it also begins imparting that righteousness to us in this new life through our union with the risen Lord. And so Paul has a lot to say about that, about how Christ's resurrection benefits us in regard to our sanctification. Romans 6 is another classic text where Paul says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." So there's a resurrection that happens even now in a spiritual sense in this life. Paul goes on, "For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we had died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ." And so through that union with the resurrected Christ, we now are alive in a new sin. We're no longer walking in spiritual death according to the trespasses of our sins, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we've been raised up with Jesus.
And the challenge is just to believe that. I mean, this is sanctification by faith, if you will, and it's important to say that the New Testament encourages the Christian to think of himself as raised up because Jesus is raised. I mean, even Revelation, I think, "A blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power." There's a first resurrection and there's a second resurrection. First resurrections is what Mike just described. The resurrection of our souls, the resurrection of this principle of life being planted in the heart, which we call the new birth, so that we are now able to now walk in righteousness and in life by the power of Christ. There was something you emphasized I really liked, Mike, that I think we really struggle with as Christians. It is that because of Christ's resurrection, there is real power for us in the present.
That's right.
You know, Paul even said that in Ephesians 1, in the prayer he had there. And he says, "I make mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints." And here it is. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Mm-hmm. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now given to you in this new resurrected life. That's so wonderful.
That's true. And that's how we should live. We should live as people who have been raised from the dead spiritually. Not only do we live as justified people, people whom God has reckoned righteous before him by virtue of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we also live as people who now experience this resurrected life as we are being sanctified. And how freeing is that? The fact that we are no longer enslaved and in bondage to sin, though we struggle with sin, right, though we still feel the effects of the pollution of sin. Nevertheless, we continue to press on in sanctification because of Christ's resurrection.
Right. And I want to encourage our listener, you know, you may be hearing this and saying, "I don't see much power in the Christian life whatsoever. In fact, everything I feel and experience seems antithetical to that." But the New Testament wants to make clear, because of Christ's work, that you're no longer under the dominion. He has shattered that dominion. That dominion, even though the presence of sin still remains, the dominion has been shattered. It no longer masters you. And therefore, what the Lord encourages us to do when we're in the struggle of sin is, by his Holy Spirit, put it to death. And that's why you have access to pray to him and to talk to him. And if you pray according to his will, if you go to the Lord and say, I need to beat this sin, it's your will that I beat this sin, that I crucify it with its passions and desires, would you give me the power to do that? That's a prayer he hears. And we need to remember in that then that this is a whole picture here. This is a whole story because of Christ's resurrection. So we've outlined here the benefit of justification by faith alone, the benefit of sanctification, that we have this power that Christ in us, the hope of glory, all of these benefits that the New Testament describes. But then the last one here, the Heidelberg describes, is this, and I think this is so glorious, Mike. Third, the resurrection of Christ is to us a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection.
That's right. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 15, the first fruits. So Christ is like the first crop that has popped up in a barren field. And that is what gives assurance that the rest of the field will also be harvested, that we who are joined to him now, who are united with the risen Lord, our physical bodies will be raised from the dead. And that is ultimately when our salvation is complete. Christ has already accomplished everything for our salvation, but all of our salvation has not yet been applied. It's been applied to us by the imputation of Christ's righteousness, and it's being applied to us by the sanctification that's going on in our life by the power of the Spirit. And it will finally, we'll get the final installment of our salvation when we are glorified. And it's important for us to remember that that was the goal intended from the beginning, that glorification, or you know, our resurrected bodies, is not a repaired body of that was fallen, but rather it is us being brought to God's intended goal for his people from the very beginning, the goal that Adam would have reached had he remained obedient in the garden. But Christ, who came as the second Adam, he's the one that has brought us to that.
And I love to think of how Paul even describes all that. You know, even now, this benefit is so glorious of the resurrection and the resurrection of our bodies. But even now in principle, because Christ is raised and seated in heaven, Ephesians says you're seated there in principle with the anticipation, because all of his promises are yes and amen. It's as good as done. Your bodies will be there. And that is such an encouraging and comforting message for the Christian. You know, I don't think, Mike, we value the body today like we should. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard, I go to funerals and, you know, they say, well, that's just the shell. So-and-so's not here. Well, it's true. We're made up of two parts. The soul goes to be with the Lord when we die, if you're a Christian. But that body is just as important, isn't it? And we have to say that today. That body, every time you look through the Old Testament, the saints had an understanding. They would carry bones back to be buried for a reason. It was a testimony of faith that they believed that those very bodies would be raised glorious, because Jesus's very body was raised glorious.
That's right. Our salvation is not complete when the soul departs the body. That's what happens in death, is you have a separation of soul and body, because we are all made in this duality of body and soul. But it's when our salvation is complete when body and soul come back together, when Jesus brings with him those who sleep in him, that is, all of the departed souls in heaven, and he comes back to this earth, raises their bodies from the dead. They're glorified. They're not resuscitated. They're not just repaired bodies, but they are glorified bodies. Body and soul come back together as one, and that is when our salvation is complete. Christ's resurrection, as Heidelberg is rightly pointing out, is what guarantees that that will happen.
Right, and I think this creates a groaning in us. I think because this hasn't been appreciated as it should, the actual resurrection of the body and the value of the body, we don't look in hope the way that we should to this. I hear this constantly. I'm not being overly critical here. I hope not. But when some people die, they say, well, finally, you know, they got their new legs, or finally they're jumping around in heaven and singing for joy. Well, no, not really. Not really. They're present with the Lord in soul. They're consciously aware of what's going on. They're awake with the Lord. They're in glory with him. But they're still waiting for something more.
That's right.
And we've got to emphasize that today. Something still has not been completed. And that's why when the Lord comes in all of his glory, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, we're all going to be changed.
Right.
We're going to have brand new resurrected bodies. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But it's going to be glorious.
It'll be glorious, and that's when the saying comes to pass, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That's when it comes to pass. That's when the ancient promise of Isaiah 25, of this joy in this time of feasting and drinking fine wine in the presence of God, as the prophet puts it, that's when that comes to pass, when we are there dwelling with Jesus, with bodies made like unto his.
You know, if Jesus cares a lot about our bodies, then and how we live as Christians, then if he calls us in the short time that we live here on earth to deny ourselves and to value what he values, we should consider that the greatest privilege. I mean, he went all the way to the cross sacrifice, became the sacrifice, rose again to give us newness of life. If he asks me to deny myself, if he asks me to put to death certain sins that have plagued me the course of my life because he's free me, should that be a burden for us? Well, in our own strength, it is. But he wants us to set ourselves to do that because he has something so much more glorious ahead of us. And we have to think like that. He's ushered in something glorious for the Christian. A new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell is ahead of you, dear Christian. It's coming. And I suppose it's important to say, if you don't have Christ, and we need to give a call here at this point. If you don't have Christ, there's also another resurrection that takes place. Remember, John talks about two resurrections. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And we don't want anyone to go to hell. Hell is a clear doctrine in the scriptures. If you don't have a savior, that's where people will go. And so we humbly plead with people, come to Christ today. Believe in Jesus. You'll be saved from the wrath to come.
That's right. Come to the one who's been raised from the dead and has victory over death. This is not a fairy tale. This is not wishful thinking. There were eyewitnesses. There are valid reasons for believing that this is true. And that's the only reason why we're Christians, is because we believe it's true, not because Christianity gives us a better life or makes us a better person. You know, you can make that argument of a lot of things. We are Christians because we believe it's true, because we believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses who saw Christ raised from the dead. If it didn't happen, there's no point in being a Christian. But if it did, then there's every reason to be a Christian. Flee to Jesus Christ, and you too can have the living hope of being raised from the dead.
Right. So we hope this was a blessing to you today. We'd love to hear from you. Do please visit us on the web at agradio.org. You're welcome to call us at 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. So grateful to our listeners who tune into Abounding Grace. There also, I want to announce now, there is a new app. There is a new app where you can go into your phones, go to your Play Stores, iTunes, however it works. I'm still figuring all that out, Mike. I guess I'm getting old. You can download that app. You can download that, and then it's right there in your phone to listen to whenever the new ones come in. So thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.